Good morning. There may be some of you present who do not know the reason for our 15-minute meditation before our work begins. And so I would like to explain to you that the very nature of our work, the basic foundation of our work, is meditation. Nothing is important in this work without meditation. And to understand this, it is necessary to know what the discovery is that started us on this path. Scripture reveals to us that if God build not the house, they labor in vain that build it. Christ Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. It is the Father within me that doeth the works. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. And so, if you search the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and if you search the scriptures of all other peoples on the face of the globe, you will discover that there is a something. Most of us call it God. Some call it the Christ. Others have other names for it. The name is of no importance. Call it by whatever name you will. The important thing is the nature of it and its function in our lives. We might think for a moment of a garden, your garden, any garden, and you know the processes that are at work there. You plant seeds. First of all, you have these seeds in your hand. You may have them there for days, weeks, months, or years. Nothing happens. But the moment that you place those seeds in their natural ground and provide them with the necessary rain, sun, air, so forth, something happens to that seed. It breaks open, it takes root, it sends shoots up through the ground. Eventually it becomes your plants or your trees, bears fruit or flowers. But the point that I would like you to see at this moment is that something happened to that seed in the ground. Now, if you could look down into the ground, even with the most powerful of magnifying glasses, while you would observe the seed breaking open, you would not see what caused it to break open. While you would notice it take root, you have no way of seeing what causes it to take root. You would see it growing up through the ground and coming up out of the ground, but you would have no idea of what is causing it to do that, what is forcing it up, because whatever it is invisible. It is invisible to human sight. No one has ever seen that which caused the seed to become eventually the full-grown tree and fruit. And it is in the same way in the conception of a child. You all know the processes, but no one has ever seen what caused that seed to multiply, to divide, to form. You can witness the process of it multiplying, dividing, forming, but there is no way in which you can ever become aware of what is doing it, because it is an invisible process. It is for this reason that we read in Scripture that all things that are formed of things which are not seen. That which is not seen is the invisible something, the invisible presence, the invisible power. First, you are acknowledging that there is an invisible. Now, as you sit here, you are acknowledging that there is an invisible that operates upon that seed. Or let us go further and behold the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets. You all know the process of the movements of these. No one has ever seen that which caused these movements and perpetuates these movements. You all know the incoming of the tides and outgoing, but no one has ever seen that which produces the phenomena. And the reason is, the force or power is invisible. It is invisible, and yet it is power. It is invisible, yet it is present. Whether it is down in the ground or up in the sky, this invisible presence and power is. This invisible presence and power is functioning. It is a very intelligent presence and power. When it operates through a banana tree, it sends us bananas. When it operates through a rose bush, it sends us roses. When it moves the tides in, it moves them in thus far and no farther. When it moves them out thus far and no farther. And it maintains the sun, the stars, the moon in their orbits generation after generation. So it is a very intelligent presence and power, and it is a very loving presence and power, because it can always be depended upon to continue its activity through rain, storm, or sleet. It can be relied on to continue its activity in periods of peace and of war. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest lessons learned from the 10 years of hard depression in the States was that there was not 1 ounce less of supply during those 10 years than during the 10 preceding years, which were the years of America's greatest boom. There was just as much gold, silver, platinum, just as many potatoes and ears of corn, just as many trees, just as many flowers, just as many cattle on 1,000 hills, just as many birds in the air, just as many fish in the sea. 10 horrible years of depression, and yet this invisible presence and power saw to it that there was just as much supply on earth as there ever had been before, and perhaps something more, since we found it necessary to burn up some of it and send some of it to sea to be buried. There was such a surplus of it. Only man in his stupidity lacked, but the world did not lack. The trees did not lack for leaves or fruit. The gardens did not lack for flowers. The earth did not lack for gold or silver or platinum or uranium or any other of the great manifestations of this invisible, intelligent, loving presence and power. Now, another discovery that was made was this. Why it is that this world can be filled with supply, the supply of everything necessary, wool, silk, and all of the chemical materials, and all of the metals, and all of the food, and why there can be people who lack. That discovery has been made. We know why it is possible to starve to death in the midst of an infinite abundance. The reason is that just as you could keep seeds in your hand forever without them bearing fruit, just by keeping them out of their native element, the ground, so you can keep yourself in sin, disease, lack, limitation, warfare. You can even keep yourself in death if you just wait a little while. By the same process, you keep yourself out of your native element. Your native element is this invisible substance. According to Scripture, we live and move and have our being in God. So that whether we are sitting here in this room, we are actually sitting in the midst of God. In swimming, up in the plains, if necessary on a battlefield, we are still swimming in an ocean of God, living, moving, having our being in God. We are planted in Him. We are rooted and grounded in Him. This is the truth. And if we fulfilled the mission that we were supposed to fulfill, none of us would ever know sin, disease, death, lack, limitation, or war. What we have done, we couldn't successfully remove ourselves from God because that is our natural habitat. We are now living, moving. The sinner in his deepest dyed sin, the prodigal son, at the lowest depth of his prodigality, still is living, moving, and having his being in God, swimming in an ocean of God. That which separates us from harmony and abundance is a violation of a statement of the Master's. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we do not know this truth. We have heard it, we have occasionally read it in Scripture, but we do not know it. We do not constantly know it. We do not consciously know it. Again, the Master who gives us our instruction said, you must abide in this word, and you must let this word abide in you if you would bear fruit richly. Therefore, the ability to be healthy, the ability to be harmonious or have abundance, has nothing to do with any effort in life except that constant effort of abiding in this word and letting this word abide in you. In other words, consciously knowing this truth. Now, the discovery that brought about the start of this activity of the infinite way was to this effect. There is only one God. It really makes no difference whether you are Protestant or Catholic or Hebrew or Christian Scientist or Unity or New Thought. There are not varieties of God. There is only one God. It makes no difference whether you worship in an Oriental temple or an Occidental temple or a Hebrew synagogue. You must still be worshiping that one God, for there is no other. It really makes no difference if you don't go into any religious body. If you stayed in your home, if you just drive your car or walk in a park, there is still only that one God, and there is no less of that God for the person outside the church than there is for the person inside the church, because in the kingdom of God there are no churches. In the beginning there were no churches. In the beginning there were no temples. The only church there was, or temple, was you. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Know ye not that the place whereon thou standest is holy ground? If you mount up to heaven, that is holy ground. If you make your bed in hell, that is holy ground. If you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that is holy ground. Why? Because you are there, and wherever you are, God is, because you are the temple of God, and God is in that temple which you are. Now, the miracle is that this could all be true as it is, and as you can readily demonstrate, prove, it is all true, and we have missed the way, and we have missed it only in one way, by not knowing this truth, by not abiding in this truth. We have let ourselves be deceived into believing that there's more of God one place than another, or that our sins cause God to punish us. The sins never cause God to punish us. The sins punish us. God is not aware of the sin or of the punishment. Now, once you can examine Scripture, and I'm speaking of the Scriptures of the world, because this is to be found in all Scripture, once you examine the Scripture of the world, your own Scripture, you will find this, that the kingdom of God is not in a holy mountain nor in a temple in Jerusalem, that the kingdom of God is neither low any place, neither low here nor low there, that the kingdom of God is within you. And it never moves out of there. And you may be white, or you may be black, or you may be Oriental or Occidental. It makes no difference. You are the temple of God. God is no respecter of persons. You are the temple of God. And God is in that holy temple which you are. Now, if you wish this seed of truth to bear fruit, you must take it into your withinness, within yourself, and there begin to remember, I can of my own self do nothing. It is the Father within me that doeth the work. And I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The entire air that surrounds me is an ocean of God, and it fills me outside and inside. I live and move and have my being in this ocean of God, in this sea of love and of wisdom. I am in God, and God is in me. I dwell in this secret place of the Most High. I live. I live in the secret place of the Most High. I live in God. According to the 91st Psalm, if you live in God, if you dwell in God, none of the evils of this world will come nigh thy dwelling place. 1,000 who are not abiding in this truth may fall at your left. 10,000 who are ignoring this truth will fall at your right. None of the evils of the world will come nigh thy dwelling place if you are abiding, living, dwelling in God. I live and move and have my being in this sea of wisdom and love, this ocean of God. Francis Thompson, in his great poem, asks the question, does the bird soar to find the air? Do the fish swim to find the sea? Of course not. The birds are flying in the air. The fish are swimming in the sea. And we are flying and swimming in God. We are living and moving and having our being in Him. He is nearer to you than breathing, closer than hands and feet. And your consciously knowing this truth is providing the soil, the atmosphere, that brings the activity of this invisible presence and power into expression in your life. Now you can either avoid good by not acknowledging Him in all thy ways, or you can experience good, safety, security, protection, justice, equity, equality. You can experience these, but no one can bring them to you. Not even God. You must bring them to yourself by living consciously in Him. And He will establish thee in all thy ways. I of my own self can do nothing. And just remember who said those words. The great Master, Christ Jesus. I can of my own self do nothing. Do you think you can? Not in the face of that statement, or the face of that statement made by mystics throughout all time. I can of my own self do nothing. It is this divine presence within me that doeth the works. Except the Lord build my house, the house will not be built. Except the Lord keepeth watch, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Always, we as human beings are insufficient. We do not have sufficient wisdom even to run our own business or our own government. Well, I don't have to prove that to you, do I? There hasn't been a government in any country on the face of the globe at any time in the last half century that had enough intelligence even to stay out of war, or had enough intelligence to keep their currency stable, or to keep the supply of food reaching all of their people. Not one. There hasn't been an intelligent government in the capital of any country on the face of the earth, not even with enough intelligence to provide food for its people or peace. or safety or security from the enemy without. That is how insignificant man is when he tries to be something of himself without recourse to this that is within him. There are untold people who have gone through this last half century peacefully, healthfully, prosperously, joyously. They are the ones who dwelt in the secret place of the Most High, and none of these evils of the world came nigh their dwelling place. Even in war, they found safety and security. Even in depression, they found sufficiency. It can be done. It is being done. It has been done throughout all time, but not by the 1,000 at my left or the 10,000 at my right, but by the individual or small groups of individuals who have known enough to know that there is only one God, and that God is within you. Now, you change your life in the same way that you change the life of a seed when you plant it in the ground. No matter what the life of the seed has been while you were carrying it in your pocket, the life of that seed changes the moment you plant it in the ground. So does your life change the moment you plant yourself in Him. In the spiritual kingdom, you don't do this physically. You don't have to move from here to there. You don't have to walk out of this room. You don't even have to walk into this room. All you have to do wherever you are is to recognize, here where I am, God is. The kingdom of God is within me and without. I live in Him and He in me. I swim in a sea of infinite wisdom and love. I soar up into the atmosphere, still surrounded by the everlasting life and the everlasting love, which is the nature of God. I cannot escape from His arms, underneath on the everlasting arms. I live and move and have my being in Him. I rest in Him. God is the source of all supply. Too many people believe that supply is a product of their efforts. It isn't. The earth is full of supply, and it's there by grace, by the grace of God. There is cattle on 1,000 hills. By the grace of God, the earth is filled with His bounty, and the air with His bounty, the seas, by grace. By grace, the heavens and the earth declare His glory, the fullness of His glory, the infinite abundance of His glory. And all of this, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, by the Spirit of God that is within me. And therefore, to know, to experience this abundance means acknowledge it. Acknowledge that supply is by the grace of God. Go back in your own memory over the worst years of the Depression or over the worst years of your own lack and limitation. and see if the earth wasn't just as full of God's bounty as it is in the moments of your greatest prosperity. And you will find it is true. Never has there been a lack on the face of this earth. You may, for argument's sake, say that some countries do not have this abundance, but you would be mistaken. They do have it, they destroy it. They either won't plant the seeds or they won't cultivate them. They have it. God is no respecter of countries. All countries have it. The statement was made here the day before yesterday. By the member of one of the large banking systems of the world, that if one country the size of China or Russia, one country should cultivate their land to the same extent that the land of Japan is cultivated, there would be enough food on the face of the earth for everybody everywhere. It just isn't being cultivated. It just isn't being planted and developed. So with us, the seed of truth is not being planted, cultivated, and developed within you and me, or we would be flourishing. And to whatever extent we are not flourishing, it is not the fault of God. It is the fault of our not planting, cultivating this seed of truth within ourselves. Take this seed of truth that I'm giving you in the same spirit that the Master offered it to us. I can give you water, which if you drink, you'll never thirst again. I can give you food, meat, which if you eat, you will never hunger again. And I say to you, I can give you a seed of truth, which if you plant within your consciousness this moment, and then cultivate it. Don't plant it and go away and neglect it. Cultivate it. Day by day, know this truth. The kingdom of God is established within me. That I live and move and have my being in God. I am living not only surrounded by air, but surrounded by the life and the love and the wisdom of God. I'm swimming in an ocean of God. I'm soaring and flying like the birds in the atmosphere of God. Consciously, I have God dwelling in me, and I can do all things through God that dwelleth in me. And I in him, for we are one. God is invisible, but God is an invisible presence of intelligence and love. And this infinite, invisible presence of wisdom and love is within me and without me. I am in it, and it is in me. Where I am, it is. Where it is, I am. For we are inseparable, we are indivisible, we are one. I and my Father are one. This is a form of contemplative meditation. Whether I orally speak it, or whether I sit here in silence with my eyes closed and think it, it is still a form of contemplative meditation, and it constitutes the activity of cultivating the seed of truth that I have planted within myself. Now, in our particular work, after our students have been with us a year or two, they set aside not less than 3 or 4 periods each day. Periods of 5 or 10 or 15 minutes for this particular purpose of consciously dwelling in God and consciously letting God dwell in me. And then the rest of the day, we live our lives, tend to our business, art, profession, whatever it may be, the same as everyone else. The only difference between us now and the rest of the world is that we now have the Spirit of God dwelling in us because we have consciously brought it about. There you will remember that Paul shows why the human race is barren. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. The natural man is not under the law of God, neither indeed can be. Therefore, until you come to this place in your life where you consciously have the Spirit of God indwelling, you are not the Son of God, you are the natural man who receiveth not the things of God. But from the moment that you begin to live in God and let God live in you consciously, you now may say, the Spirit of God dwells within me. The consciousness of God's presence dwells within me. And then you will hear Paul say, now are ye the sons of God. And if sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs to all the heavenly riches. Now you will discover the difference between being the prodigal or natural man and being that man who has his being in Christ. Again, this is referred to in Scripture. The man of earth. Now remember, this man of earth is you and me. As we live our lives separate and apart from conscious union with God. This is the man of earth, the natural man, who is not under the law of God, not under the protection of God, not under the grace of God, receiveth not the things of God. This you change, you bring about. Ye shall know the truth. The moment you begin to know the truth, the minute you begin to abide in this word and let this word abide in you, now you are no longer the man of earth. Now you are that man who has his being in Christ. In other words, you are now having your being living in God, and God living in you. No one can do this for you. You can bring yourself into an atmosphere such as this, bring yourself into this united consciousness, and you can go out feeling better than you come in. You may even have healing while you're sitting here. It happens over and over and over again. But do not congratulate yourself that you have attained anything great, because you haven't. The fullness of harmony And the continuity of harmony cannot be given to you by others. Even Christ Jesus said, if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come to you. No one can permanently give you heaven. This must be your act. Ye must know the truth in order that ye may be free. You must abide in the word if you will bear fruit richly. Or the Master says, if you do not, you will be as a branch of a tree that is cut off and withereth. Now, it makes no difference how many saviors there are. It makes no difference how many spiritually illumined people there are. They can bring you a temporary good, a temporary healing, a temporary supply. But it is you yourself who live with yourself 24 hours a day, and the way in which you live with yourself determines the nature of your life. Therefore, in addition to these longer periods of meditation, we have a way of life that enables us, in the midst of our normal day's living, to assure ourselves of the fact that we are continuing in God's grace and under God's grace. And that is this. We call this a 10-second meditation. For this, you do not have to close your eyes. You do not have to sit down. You can do it while you're driving your car. You can do it while you're in your office working. You can do it at home, cooking, house cleaning. Regardless of what you're doing with your body, you can give 10 seconds to this. I in God and God in me. Where I am, God is. And that's enough. An hour from now, I live and move and have my being in God. I'm swimming in an ocean of God and God in me. And that's enough. And another hour, underneath are the everlasting arms. Here where I am, God is. And that's enough. Another hour. I live not by might nor by power, but by God's grace. I can rest in the assurance of God's grace. Another hour. Perhaps we can look at a tree and realize that day or night, the life of God is animating that tree. And even if at this moment it seems barren, the very activity of God is the insurance or assurance that in its due season there will be fruit. And so if at the moment I appear to be barren of health or wealth or opportunity, I can realize that the presence of God in me is the assurance that in due season I too will bear fruit richly. So it is that never less than once in every hour, there must be this 10 seconds of conscious remembrance, I in God and God in me. Life by grace, not by might or by power. Put up thy sword. Stop fighting this world. Stop fighting yourself. Stop fighting God. Put up thy sword. Be still. Be still and know that I, in the midst of thee, am God. Just these 10 seconds now and 10 seconds then is enough to keep us consciously in the atmosphere of God, and to keep ourselves surrounded with the atmosphere of God. It's beautiful, wonderful to know that God has no religion. And so if you happen to have a Catholic God or a Protestant God or a Hebrew God or a metaphysical God, it's perfectly all right. It's the same God, the one God. Sometimes, just to show the impersonal nature of that God, sometimes we speak of God as law or the lawgiver. We speak of God as the grand architect. We speak of God as divine love. We speak of God as life eternal. See, all of that is without any particular creed or denomination. Therefore, enjoy the fruitage of any creed or any denomination that you like. Only live in God and have God live in you. Then you'll discover that God is closer to you than breathing. You'll also discover why God says, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. If you haven't experienced the allness of God, ask yourself how much of your time you've lived consciously in God, and you'll know the answer, because this is the answer. There is no other answer. God is never further from us than our breathing. We are never outside of God, and God is never outside of us. We are always one. It is our conscious knowing that determines the degree of our God experienced. As you read the Gospels, you will see how few breaths the Master drew without the word God or the Father on his lips or in his mind. Study the lives of the Hebrew and Christian prophets and see to what extent God was in their mind and their heart and their soul. And you'll understand why some of them have been called God-intoxicated men. Of course, they were drunk with the very Spirit of God. Nice kind of drunk, too. Very refreshing. And so you see why meditation became the basis of a way of life. Now, this way of life has never been organized. We don't have any corporate entity or religious body, and we have no membership. We have no dues. We have no exclusive on God. We merely have discovered that there is this way of living in God, and that this has been known to many of the Orientals and many of the Occidentals throughout all time. We're a little bit too late for a copyright or a patent on this God. And so here it is, free. Take it. It's yours to live or to ignore as your present state of consciousness may dictate. But one of these days, if you ignore it now, one of these days the remembrance of these words will come back to you, and you can start it then. It's never too late. That is one of the great blessings of God. It is never too late for God. The prodigal son found God at the moment of his greatest extremity. And I'm pretty sure that the woman taken in adultery and the thief on the cross were in their moment of greatest extremity. And it wasn't too late for them. It's never too late. It's really never too early. Because the sooner we begin, the sooner we live in the atmosphere of God, the sooner we live in his very presence and in his very spirit, There is a promise in Scripture. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with thee to the end of the world. And so you may be assured that it is the truth, even if for a while you continue to ignore this truth, it still is the truth that the presence of God in you is there now, always has been since before Abraham was, will be unto the end of the world. And so you can choose any moment you like between now and 10,000 years from now and accept it, live it. Plant this seed of truth in your consciousness and begin daily to nourish it with brief periods of meditation, which means conscious remembrance. A meditation is only a conscious remembrance of truth, conscious remembrance of the presence of God, conscious remembrance of living in God, conscious remembrance of a life by grace, not by might, nor by power. Put up thy sword. Stop fighting life. Stop chasing after God, and you'll find that God will come right up to you. Be still. In quietness and in confidence, God gives you peace and rest. Not in strife, not in struggle, not in going to far places to find God, but in resting. Rest. Rest. In quietness and in confidence, I am with you. In quietness and in confidence, you will feel that my peace is upon you. My peace give I unto you. My grace is thine. My grace is thy sufficiency. Put up thy sword. Ye need not fight. Relax, rest. My grace is thy sufficiency. My peace give I unto thee. My meat, eat of my meat, you'll never hunger. Drink of my water, you'll never thirst. Relax in me, and let me abide in thee. Consciously rest in me. Let me abide in thee. I am the meat. I am the wine. I am the resurrection. Yes, even raising up that old dead body into newness of life. I am the resurrection that restores the lost years of the locust. Only don't fight. Put up thy sword. Son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. I give you this as a seed of truth. You plant it in your consciousness. You nurture it. You feed it. Your remembrance day by day, quietly, peacefully, joyously, and in due season, the fruitage will appear. Thank you.